This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
Real quick, before we get to this, John, who works at the Smith Center as part of the game management staff,
I want you to bring back some stuff from Winston.
No. Huge Primetime with the Pac-Man fan.
Yeah.
Loved Primetime with the Pac-Man.
Could probably get him a shirt. Can't get you.
Love the QCB, the whole cast
of characters.
Ask me out of the blue, do you remember the Get Some guy?
Get Some guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He asked me this weekend, tell Pac I'm the one, I remember the Get Some guy.
He passed away.
That's right. John said he knew he passed away, but he was saying, y'all need to find every once in a while, maybe we get to Get Some guy back or somebody like that.
I've got all old tapes of the show. I'm telling you, I'm going to write a book. I keep notes of every radio show I've ever done. And I'm going, one of these days, when I get some time, I'm going to write a book and people are going to say, man, where did he come up with these crazy stories? They're all true. I've got tapes, the old James Brown.
Oh, man.
All that stuff. Jump back, kiss you. Man. Hey, Pac-Man.
Crazy.
Hey, Pac-Man, we're going to
that story. We'll have to do that one night in Fireside Chat. All right. Yeah. I was asked about the Get Some guy.
He was a legendary figure. He was classic. Can I tell a real quick story? The Get Some guy? Are we running late? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's too late. Show's. The Get Some guy, one time, we used to do this thing called the Weiner Line, which we stole from WEEI in Boston.
Right.
But the Weiner Line was really classic. I mean, and we would hear people just complain and bitch and moan about everything in the world of sports. And the producers would put it together, but we would not hear them. People always thought we heard them ahead of time, but we didn't. That's why I never want to know stuff ahead of time. I want to give you a real honest opinion, the reaction. Well, we were doing a remote one night from the old doghouse there across the street from the stadium.
Right.
And the Get Some guy must have had a few maker marks. He'd been known to have a few maker marks. And he took a shot at the president. Well, if we didn't, and again, I'm not going to repeat it because, I mean, they'll shut this down, especially after my weekend with the military. So he took a shot at the lack of leadership from Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And we just like, there's Get Some guy. Next one, please. We just cut him off. Next one, please. Well, we did not get through the segment, which is about a 10-minute segment. And these cars come flying up.
To the doghouse?
To the doghouse. Guys get out. Flash the badge. We're with Secret Service. This. At 5:30 something p.m., you ran something. Who was that person? I mean, out of nowhere. And so we're on the air, all right? And I got the lights and like, who are these people? Where are they coming
That's
from?
That's the real.
No joke.
The real guys.
And Daniel Norwood, who's now with Sirius XM, yep. and was mm-hmm. my producer, is like we're still on the air. And they're like, no, take the headsets off. You're coming. They thought it was us. And so Daniel has to tell the guys, no. And like he's trying to explain. And I'm like, let's just go to break.
let's go to break before I'm helped to the car we go to over break. The hood.
This is a Get Some guy story. We go to break. Daniel explains to him, no. That's a guy that calls me. So he explains what this Weiner Line is.
Right.
The guys say, do you know his name and his address and his phone number? Daniel says, I've got all that information back at the studio. They whisk him to the studio. They get the information. We find out later, they go right to his house. He lived in Mooresville, North Carolina. And they jumped him right from the get. They ring his doorbell and gave him the riot act that, hey, never again do you make a comment like that regarding the President of the United States of America. That's the Get Some guy. Now, let me tell you something. You talking about
watching we haven't had that happen yet on ACC Network now, have we?
No, we have a Secret Service agent run through this door here in the next 3 minutes. You know they're not. we'll find out about the reach of a new Comcast deal here in about 10 seconds, right? But that Get Some guy was one of the all-timers.
By the way,
he loved Carolina.
I've been assured that if that happens, we'll go to break.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll go right to break.
Well, you know, I got some Dewey sugar cake upstairs. Maybe we can sweeten the deal while they take you to jail.
So John asked about the Get Some guy this week. I'm glad John asked about the Get Some guy this weekend while I was
at
Chapel
Hill
Smith
Center. I got all kinds of stories, man. I got stories. Holy mackerel. What a time.
Everybody thinks the old Everybody thinks Packer just kind of showed up, started doing the show. Nope.
No. It worked that way.
By the way, congratulations this morning to Mike Noonan and Clemson. Tigers get another soccer national championship.
That's their third.
Yep. 2-0, Pack.
Taking
started
it.
Early. Right here. Look at this. Yeah.
25 seconds into it.
A little whiff. And a goal.
Going to take that thing back to Clemson, South Carolina, they are.
That's it. 2-0 the final. Tigers win. What do Coach Howard would say at a Tiger soccer championship?
Them boys out there can't beat my boys. All boys won, got two out of the team.
It is a football championship,
team,
Coach.
Nothing like Virginia.
Coach, it's a football championship.
Yeah. Pretty strong, though. Mike Noonan getting the job done. Yeah. And like I said earlier, they've had multiple opportunities here, even in recent memory, where you thought that was a national championship caliber team. This team was seeded eighth in the country and knocked off number one, number two, and number four to win it all.
Seventh team national title at Clemson. Starting 81 with Coach Ford, 84 and 87 in soccer.
Youngster people.
03 with
football people.
We haven't seen Penley in a while, by the way.
Penley's doing good, man.
Dabo in 17 and 19, and now Mike Noonan in men's soccer in 2021. Our congratulations to Clemson.
Graham Neff. 3 days on the job.
I tell you what, now interim AD is crushing it.
Part of the Phillips factor.
Graham Neff gets the interim tag. Radakovich heads to Coral Gables, and all Neff does is win. Right?
Temporary put on Twitter. What? 3 days in.
Graham Neff is
got him
smoking it.
Got a national championship. Yeah. I mean, really, it's a cool story. And the ACC loaded. We've talked about this a bunch. I know during the football season, but soccer, man, this league is so good, so deep. Again, Florida State, the women win the national championship last week in Santa Clara. The Tigers yesterday take care of business, win their third in North Carolina. Really, really impressive.
Let's jump to volleyball. You may say, well, I say volleyball. Yeah, because half the Final Four field in Columbus belongs to the Atlantic Coast Conference. Louisville is still undefeated. Took care of Georgia Tech 3-1 in an all-ACC final. Congratulations to Danny Busboom Kelly, but also to Michelle Collier as well. Georgia Tech had a phenomenal year.
Sure did. Great
and,
year.
You know, this was one where Louisville won at Freedom Hall. By the way, that was kind of cool to see the volleyball at Freedom Hall.
It was, and it was rocking.
Yep.
And Serena Gray from Pitt's going to join us here at the bottom of the hour.
Because the Panthers are there. They took Purdue out 3-1. Looking forward to visiting with Serena. Coach Fisher and Pittsburgh are in the Final Four. And great to see as well. So excited for both Pitt and Louisville on the volleyball side. Congratulations this morning. We went off the air Friday at 10 o'clock, and we said, hey, you know what? Might not be 10:05, but it was dang close, Coach.
It was close.
It was real close to getting 10:05'd. But Tony Elliott's the new coach at Virginia. Mike Elko just joined us at 8:30, by the way, and we'll have his press conference coming up at 11 this morning here on ACC Network. But Tony Elliott's the new football coach at the University of Virginia, replacing Bronco Mendenhall. Both guys inherit programs where some success was attained. Maybe much more of a steady climb for Bronco. Coach Cut had it, and then a little dip at the end. Be interesting to watch them follow places that are clearly in better shape than when that previous coach found it.
And Tony Elliott will join us tomorrow, Tuesday, at 7:30 here
That's
on
it.
The program. And I said earlier, I'm happy for him. He's just a class guy. I mean, just first class, really smart, very bright, really well-respected, does it the right way, has a terrific offensive mind. I think his culture and Virginia's culture are very similar in a sense. I think they're going to be a natural fit there. Now you got to go get the players, right? You got to go get the staff together and go from there. But it was inevitable that he was going to become a head coach. His name was kicked around last year for the Tennessee job.
Yep.
And I mentioned earlier with Dabo's staff, with Brent Venables getting an incredible opportunity to go to Oklahoma. And now here's Tony getting his chance to do his deal. Jeff Scott, of course, goes to South Florida. You know, everybody wants to figure out, hey, what's going on with Dabo's guys, man, right? How in the world are they doing it, all this stuff? Everybody talks about the facility upgrades, and we always talk about the president, Jim Clements, and Dan Radakovich, and Dabo all being on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that to be the case everywhere in the country if you want to have success. But the buildings are nice. The commitment from all that stuff is terrific. But it's all about the people. And that culture that Dabo built, people want to say, hey, you know what? How do I get my hands on that?
Yeah.
And you're starting to see that. It's tough to keep a staff intact as long as they did. So it was inevitable to see the Jeff Scotts, the Tony Elliotts, that Brent Venables go on and become head coaches, and Dabo will have to replenish that with that culture that he's established. But I think he will, to be honest with you. But I'm happy, happy, happy.
You mentioned that Thad Termseed is also leaving that staff. Yeah, and he's a behind-the-scenes guy that does a lot for the infrastructure of that program.
Right, and he did that at Bama. Clemson then took it from there, and now he's gone on to join Brent at Oklahoma. And Thad's a smart guy and understands the nuances of putting that aspect together. But that's already been established at Clemson. He's got a chance to go out there to Oklahoma and do his thing there. So, again, if, you know, for Dabo, that will be a new challenge. And I think, I just did a show with Dusty Dvorak on Saturday when I was on SiriusXM, and he's an Oklahoma guy. And we were talking about one of, in his opinion, he does games for ESPN on the weekends.
Yep.
But he thought in the year 2022, one of the big stories into the season will be to see how Clemson replenishes those assistants.
Right.
And the Dabo culture, 2.0, if you will. It's going to be a big story, and I think he's probably right.
It was announced also that Ted Roof, who had, of course, been a head coach at Duke, worked at Georgia Tech a couple times, been at NC State, was at Clemson as an analyst following a tenure at Vanderbilt, a brief tenure at Vanderbilt, is also going to go with Brent Venables. So that's a familiar name from ACC circles, going with Brent Venables to Oklahoma as the defensive coordinator, although we know it's Venables' defense and things like that. But there was a connection with he and Ted at some point in the last year since Ted came back on staff with Dabo. So
it's part of the deal.
We'll see how these staffs come together. That with Tony Elliott and with Brent Venables both getting jobs, you have to believe that the Clemson hires, yes, will be important, whether they're in-house, out-of-house, whatever the case may be. The other part is the details of those staffs, because you know this, Pac, these staffs are so expansive now. College football staffs at that level, analysts, whatever the situation is, some guys want to get back into it like a Ted Roof or that kind of thing. It'll be interesting to watch and see also how they move and maybe other guys. We just saw one, and I just exchanged a text a moment ago with Stu Holt, special teams guy at Louisville, who's now going to Virginia Tech to do the same thing with Brent Pry. That's the kind of movement, too, that I think will be curious to watch as we get through this.
Yeah, and getting back to Dabo a second real quick, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this later on. But to me, the staff part, he knows how to put that together. And,
right.
And he knew that this day was coming at some point in time. When you have, again, that crazy amount of success, people want to get a piece of you from that perspective, and they do. Nick Saban, the turnover on his staff is almost every year, annual. And you just plug in – play with the right guys. But I think the thing that Dabo would be the most interesting part of his deal is his acceptance of the transfer portal. He's been about the last guy I know of that has run a real program that has basically said, you know what, we're comfortable just going and recruiting our kind of guys for our culture with what we do, and is really kind of given the Heisman pose to the transfer portal. He'll have to adapt a little bit. When you have a number of guys that have left now because everybody's going through the transfer portal, changing the staff, that to me will be the interesting part watching Dabo in 22.
Yeah. Last piece of news on the football side before we get to the break. Kenny Pickett not only was presented the Johnny Unitas Award on Friday night in Baltimore, he got to New York in time to enjoy the bright lights in Big City, and then Saturday night he finished third in the Heisman Trophy voting behind the ultimate winner, Bryce Young of Alabama, who becomes the second consecutive Alabama player to win the honor following Devontae Smith a year ago.
So. Great year, great career. Hope to see him in Atlanta next week, whenever we go, 2 weeks from now, whenever the date is.
Yeah.
When is that, by the way, 29th?
I think that's right, yeah.
29th, 30th?
I think that's
so
right.
So we've got 2 weeks.
Something like that for you. 30th, actually, is the day we're doing the show. You would go the 29th. The show would be the 29th,
we get
the 30th.
I get to leave Mecklenburg County again, get my work release. And then we get down to Atlanta, down in your part of the world.
That's right. Not quite. I'm 35 minutes northwest of it. But
I'll drop your name, see what it gets me.
It might be a lot of trouble.
Well, that may be.
Depending on who you talk to. But congratulations to Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers meeting Michigan State in the Peach Bowl on that December 30th evening. So looking forward to being down there with the Panther faithful the day of the ball game with Packer and Dermott. Also the huddle on site at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as well.
Oh, they're going to be there with us.
I think that's
the right
plan. I think that's the initial plan I saw.
Excellent. More the merrier.
More the merrier. That's right.
I'm all for it.
Maybe we get you a big dinner the night of the 29th somewhere.
Well, I will be down there early enough to have dinner in Atlanta.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Maybe we
and I don't mean don't drop me by the varsity. I'm talking about let's go get a dinner. Don't try to pull
a little
fast
something,
one on
little
me.
Something on the budget. Is that what you're looking for?
I mean, it's about time the folks at ESPN start spending some money on us. I mean, I haven't seen that black card from Aaron Katzman in about 2.5 years.
Oh, boy.
Right?
All right. What do you think? We got to go to break here because we have to have commercials.
Seen it?
We're going to have some commercials here to help compensate your ability to have that big meal in Atlanta. When we come back, I got a question for you. Do you know who leads the ACC in wins? And who do you think the third best team in the league is right now, today? We'll try and give you some answers next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, we got basketball for you tomorrow night, presented by Geico, 8 o'clock. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander from Cameron Indoor Stadium, South Carolina State, and number 3, Duke, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. That's one app, one tap.
Yeah, I like Duke by about 100 in that game. I like Duke big in that game.
I don't think they can cover 100, Coach.
All right, 60. Coach K, got the best team in the league right now.
Sure does. Okay, so he's the best team.
Yep. I think North Carolina is the second team. Again, we'll do a counting this week. I think that dark blue, light blue, 1-2.
And?
I think the third best team in the league is the black and gold right now of Wake Forest. How about that?
9 wins leads the ACC.
Now, that will be fluid, right? But you're asking me today on December the 13th. I do like the Hokies, but you know what? Wake beat the Hokies by 19 in Blacksburg.
How about that pass that right there, by the way?
That wasn't like, hey, no big deal. That was a W.
How about that pass?
I'm going to go Duke, North Carolina, Wake Forest. Sounds like Tobacco Road fever. NC State playing good basketball. They should have won yesterday. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Mm. Yeah, I said earlier, you may have the 4 best teams on Tobacco Road.
Might want to keep an eye on the Deeks here, right? Just let's keep an eye on Wake Forest, Steve Forbes' team. Boston College, by the way, middle of next week on the conference slate for Wake Forest. At home at Joel Coliseum, they got a chance to go 2-0 in the league. You see Carolina, they're 7-2. They got Virginia Tech in Chapel Hill, then at Boston College.
Let me ask you a question.
Coming up. They got UCLA Saturday, by the way.
You've been following this league as long as I have.
Yes, sir.
In your lifetime. Mm. Now, I want you to keep those standings up for a second. In your lifetime,
right,
Mr. Durham. How often, if ever, have we gotten to the middle of December and you look down the overall record of these teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference and you see as many 4s and 5s and 7s in the loss column?
That's the concerning part for me. It's been
a
while.
I will tell you, in my life, I've never seen as many something's in 3s, something's in 4s, something in 5s,
right,
something in 7s.
Correct.
Than I have right now in this league in the men's basketball standings in the middle of December.
All right. Let me point something out to those of you who follow basketball off these standings. And Mark brings up an excellent point. You see Wake and Duke with 1, North Carolina 2, and then you see Miami, Louisville, NC State with 3. Right now, if you have the ability to draw any line of demarcation between those schools and then 4s and 5s and 7s, that's not a good thing. And right now, those are the 5 schools that I think you have to look at and say, okay, what's the makeup of their schedule? What's the makeup of their wins? What have they done in the non-conference that you can see pushing them forward? And that's a real question the ACC has to answer, because – the cannibalization of league play. And you know what I mean by that, right? You're going to have teams that will beat up on other teams, hand each other 2-3 losses. Well, that puts you at, in some cases, 7 or 8, maybe more, depending on the way your league schedule goes, and that makes it troublesome, doesn't it?
What's troublesome is when you sit there and go, well, you know, you get some quality wins in the league. Problem is your non-conference results have
Correct.
Not been great.
That's
and
it.
I'm being kind, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Really kind making that statement.
Yep.
I mean, I can give you a Duke beating Gonzaga. Then you start looking around and going, okay, give me the laundry list of quality non-conference wins from the league so far.
Right.
it's not great. I mean, that's why, like, NC State yesterday, man, you're up 13 on number one Purdue. Close the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Close the deal. Georgia Tech, you got LSU on the ropes in the first half. Close the deal, right? It's just, I know it's the middle of December, but you know what? We've played 10 to 12 games. It's not like it just started a week ago.
Right.
And you're like, oh, it's early. Don't worry about it. Hey, we're kind of getting there now. Mm-hmm. And I, Wes, I don't remember a time that in my life, I go as far back, that I've seen the ACC in the position that it's in right now.
Duke is the high, and I'm going to use Ken Pomeroy, his kind of analytics here, because that seems to be a fair and equitable break apart of conference scheduling, because he does have quite a bit of the strength of schedule input here. Duke is ninth in Pomeroy's ratings, right? The next highest ACC team, North Carolina at 31.
And like I said, in my lifetime, mm-hmm. I have never seen the league like it is right now. Yeah. Doesn't mean teams can't get better. I hope they do.
That's right.
Knock on wood. But as we sit here on the 13th of December,
mm-hmm.
I would tell you the dark shade of blue in Durham, the light shade of blue in Chapel Hill, the black and gold here in Winston-Salem. I think NC State fans are like, hey, we might have something here. I think Virginia Tech's really good. But boy, Louisville can give you an ebb and flow that you're not sure what you're going to get with those guys. They lost to DePaul on Friday. Miami's a kind of team that maybe they're the ones, but maybe they get the injury.
Right.
I don't know. I really don't know. Virginia and Florida State, who were so used to seeing excellence and a standard that Leonard and Tony Bennett have created, they've got a ton of work to do, both of them. So, Again, we'll have to wait and see. But right now, there's no doubt Duke's the best team in the league.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. From a conference perspective, nationally, this is why, you know, November and kind of December rolls on by and everybody starts paying attention. We always talk about nationally after the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems when America kind of draws in a little closer to college basketball. The ACC finds itself, at least from one thought, the Big 12 being the best league in the country, maybe the Big 10, SEC and the Big East maybe ahead of the ACC. And that's where games like Georgetown, Syracuse drive you crazy, right?
Got to win those games.
You got to win those games. Yeah, it's been a very, very difficult start for the ACC.
I didn't expect to see Syracuse 5-5. I really thought they were going to have one of those kind of years where, hey, they're going to shoot the lights out of it. Zone's going to cause a problem, but has not happened so far. Notre Dame thought they'd get off to a great start. Of course, they got the terrific win, knocking off Kentucky over the weekend. But that's an old team. You expect Mike Bray's guys to be really, really good. And like I said, when you give me Virginia and Florida State, who have been really kind of a standard bearers here for the last couple years, even longer than that, struggling the way they are, boy, it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of other folks.
Wake Forest. Going to get a lot of attention with the 9 wins. VMI coming up on tomorrow night for the Deacs. Their best win so far is Virginia Tech. Their second best win is the overtime game against Northwestern, by the way. In terms, those are top 40 wins. The toughest team they play is LSU, and they lost by 14. Of course, LSU beat Georgia Tech over the weekend, too.
So lots of work to do, Mr. Durham.
Yes, sir.
I feel more comfortable on the ladies' side.
Yeah,
from a national perspective than the men right now.
Yeah, when we come back, we've got two ACC volleyball teams going to the Final Four in Columbus. One of them is Pittsburgh, and one of their leaders is Serena Gray. She's going to come join us next. We'll talk about the Panthers completing that road to the Final Four in volleyball, if you will. Close a couple of times before, and now they kick the door in with a 3-1 win over Purdue. We will talk to Serena Gray next when Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham Power Hour continues here on ACC Network. Again, 11 a.m. this morning, we will have the press conference from Durham, North Carolina. Mike Elko, again, we just had him on the show, but the formal press conference coming up at 11.
Is that what it's going to be? We're going to do the formal deal?
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that. Tony Elliott, by the way, tomorrow, 7:30.
That's right.
Right here on this program. Friday, what a special treat for you folks. Tom Luganville makes his triumphant return to the basement.
You're road tripping?
Fargo, North Dakota.
How do you get all the good trips?
Well, this is an FCS semifinal.
I'm all for the FCS.
North Dakota State playoffs. Bison and the James Madison Dukes on ESPN2 about 9:15 Eastern time.
Dude, that's a good game.
It is a good game. Very fortunate to be asked to be part of the broadcast.
Who are you doing that with?
Barrett Brooks, Super Bowl champion lineman from Pittsburgh Steelers. And Lauren Sisler.
What do you fly into in Fargo?
Fargo Hector International Field.
International.
That's what it said.
Well, I'm going with that.
Never been to Fargo.
I haven't either. I like
but
to go to
Anish Shroff gave me an excellent, and I mean excellent, scouting report. Excellent.
Okay.
Including a donut place.
They got those bison donuts up there.
I got more than that, man. They got some stuff in Fargo for you.
By the way, have you noticed that we're going to get Serena Gray on here momentarily? Yeah, we have decided to go with the pitch blue background lights. We kind of got away from those for a while.
With the hue.
I like the disco lights.
Do you?
We're working on something.
Yeah. Are you?
Yep.
I want to make sure I get this place right because Anish was doing some work for us on this, man. The place is called, who knows, Friday.
Bob's Donuts.
I may FaceTime. You may FaceTime me, and I might be at Sandy's Donuts.
Sandy's Donuts.
In Fargo.
I bet they're fresh.
Yep. Bet they make them right there, don't you?
I bet they're frozen.
And by the way, here's the other thing. Another treat for you.
These
again,
things, hockey pucks people, up there.
People who follow the show, tomorrow I will walk in this basement with a delivery from the Wilkerson Bakery in Winston-Salem.
Nice.
For you.
Tell you what, man. I think this has been part of the trade-off. We're not going to send pack anywhere. But people are just going to send packed stuff. I think that's what it is. I'm good with it. But I do need to get out of the house every now and then.
New York, it was nice for you.
New York was great.
Atlanta coming up.
You go see Gigi. She's down there.
And then the summer, Pac-Man going worldwide.
Well, we'll worry about that then.
We got to go on the boat in May.
Well, we're working on that, too. There's
what about
a lot
the
of
we got to go somewhere for the basketball tournaments, Greensboro, Brooklyn, that kind of thing, right? Back to New York, since you know the city so well.
I do know the city. Used to live there.
Go to Brooklyn for the basketball. Women in Greensboro. They took care of you last time in Greensboro. You flew the shoe.
Yeah, that was another one of those West Durham Rolla's eyes at me.
And then it happened.
I said, well, I see that blimp up there. You think they fly that thing around there? Packer, you shouldn't touch that. I said, well, I'm going to because I'm going to get my hands on that blimp. That right. blimp right up there in the upper deck.
Tell you what we need to do. We need to think about finding a way to get to Columbus, Ohio, because that's where the volleyball Final Four is this weekend. And Serena Gray joins us this morning from Pittsburgh. Serena from Temple City, California. Serena, good morning. How are you? Welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. My eyes are dilated, so it's a different world out here. That's what I'm doing. How are you doing?
Wait a minute. Why are your eyes dilated?
I had to fit in an eye appointment before I went back to California, and this was the day, this was the time, and I'm working with it.
All right, Serena, how many fingers am I holding up?
I see three.
There you go. We're in.
You're in.
You're in.
You're good to go.
Tell Coach Fisher you can go through the full practice today, Serena.
Oh, full go.
Yeah.
Always.
All right. So what does it feel like to break through and get this team to the Final Four? Because, look, we all know the disappointments and the frustrations. It had to be just an incredible feeling to know you guys were going to reach Columbus.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think everyone saw the celebration at the end. The girls just kind of went weak. It's just like this pile on the floor. As for me, it really hasn't hit yet. It just feels like, yep, it's another travel tournament. But nonetheless, I'm stoked to go. I'm excited to play against some of the best talent in the country. And I think we're a good group of girls and we're ready.
By the way, you started at Penn State, and then you put the woodshed job on them. That had to be nice, huh? It doesn't get any better than that.
Listen, I got to take the high road here, but it was very nice.
You're the first student athlete we've had, Serena, that says, listen, I got to take the high road. I mean, but yeah, I mean, still though, right? I mean, it's huge. You get it and you get the win. You guys are going to the Final Four. What changes now, though? I mean, you're a veteran on this team. You've been a part of a couple of Coach Fisher's squads. What's it mean? How do you talk to the younger players about this experience?
You know, we're all in this for the first time, so I think it's just as much as a new experience to me as it is to them. But I've been to the tournament before, so I do have that experience. But for sure, I looked at the itinerary today for, like, what we have planned the next couple days, and, like, I don't know what a lot of these things are. So I think the next few days are going to be a surprise for sure.
Well, Serena, the reason you didn't know what they were is because you couldn't see. I mean, come on now.
That might be it.
What would it mean for you and this team? I mean, this league is really good, right? We've talked about Louisville, the number one seed. You guys are the number three seed. Georgia Tech was the number eight national seed. I mean, the league is very talented. But what would it mean? Again, you get to the Final Four. That's kind of breaking down the door. That's one. But now you're there. Let's go close the deal, right? I know that's the mindset. What would it mean, though, for everybody at Pittsburgh if you brought back the hardware?
Well, a couple weeks ago, our football team won the ACC championship, and the town was ablaze. It was really bad, honestly a little unsafe. I think for the city of Pittsburgh, I think we would definitely bring some pride back. It's definitely cool when there's a local program that you can support and they're really good, so that's gonna be hype. For the girls and the coaches, I think it would just be the cap on a perfect season. I know we've had a lot of adversity, and we're definitely still in COVID, so there's that. But it's been a really, really great year for this group, and that would just be like the icing on the cake.
Serena, when you decide to transfer, do you know this can happen, or are you hedging a little bit here? What was it about Pittsburgh for you in the transfer to come be a part of this?
Definitely Fish's mindset on, like, winning is a byproduct of, like, hard work, mental health. First of all, you're not going to play great if you're not happy. There are a couple of other things that I can't really think of right now, but I definitely didn't think that was something that could happen. Mm. I don't know. I was just definitely looking for a program where, like, I could better myself, better my volleyball skill set. And I was looking for teammates that would hold me accountable and work as hard as I was. So that's what I was looking for. And the fact that it's leading to this is just, it's not a surprise. I mean, that should be the result from everything we put in this season. Mm-hmm. But it's still just crazy to think about.
So I want to ask you a tactical question because, you know, we follow so much of obviously football, we're into basketball, we got a lot of different things going on here during our shows, and we got interviews, and so I watched a lot of the round last week, Sweet 16 in, right? And I noticed that a lot of volleyball, for years we've talked about, you know, outside hitters and that kind of thing, right? It seemed to me that a lot more of the scoring plays were occurring in the middle of the net last week. Has the game moved back to the middle in some respect?
I think so. I think the middles in the NCAA are getting a lot more physical. They're working a lot harder in transition, and they want to be set. I mean, last year in the Big Ten, it was this huge uproar because I think Dana Recchi had like 30 kills in a game, and I was like, good. Like, that should be happening. Like, she's a great attacker. She should be set just as much as the outside. She works hard in transition. She's always up. So I think that's something really cool that's happening in the evolution of our game.
Serena, you've got a great smile, first of all. It looks like it's one of those permanent smiles. You just look like you're the happiest person on the planet. I know you're winning a bunch of games. We got down to the Final Four. Life is good. But you look like a positive, upbeat soul. Mm-hmm. And I don't know you. I'm just saying that from a distance.
I'm glad I give off that presence. I'm actually getting – I didn't put my phone on D&D, so I'm getting, like, text messages from, like, my favorite person in the world. So, like, I'm smiling at those, too.
Oh, man. See, who's got it better than you? By the way, what do we know about Nebraska? Traditionally good, right?
Yeah. I definitely need to scout. I can't tell you too much that I know about them, but by tomorrow, I should
okay.
know about
All right.
every single hit.
So All right, well,
I can answer that better.
Well, then, compare this to me. What do we need to know about the weather in relationship from Temple, California to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
You know, actually, today is a really nice day. Like, the sun's out and it's kind of warm. And I, California, if the sun's out, it's warm. But on the East Coast, I realize the sun can be out and it's cold. So it's not too different out here. Like, I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt and yeah. a shirt on top of it. And, like, I'm very comfortable. So,
All right.
No snow yet. Yeah. I know Wisconsin got like 21 inches like 2 days ago. So we're definitely not there yet.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, traditional question, since you're making your debut on our show today, and hopefully it's not the last time we see you, but since you've been at Pittsburgh, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest what? Sorry?
Class.
I'm in this class called the development, professional identity and something development. Yeah, something along those lines. And it's a lot of writing, and it's on a Thursday, and we travel on Thursdays. So my attendance hasn't been my student athletic trainer just so happened to be walking the streets of Pittsburgh, so that's what I'm looking at right now. And it's a lot of writing. I mean, I am in grad school, so I have to expect that. But that's definitely been tough. I turned in my paper yesterday, so... It's not as hard anymore.
That's why you got a smile on your face.
I'm gonna look up professional identity and something development. I want to go with that. We're gonna look that up here, okay?
With Stefano Bagnato.
Always important to throw that in there. Always important. Listen, best of luck. It's been a thrill watching you, ladies. Take care of business. Maybe a potential Louisville Pittsburgh ACC national championship game. That'd be fantastic. But safe travels, all that good stuff, and continued success.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Serena Gray from Temple City, California. Big piece of what Dan Fisher's built with Pitt Volleyball.
Hey, what a lovely young... I mean, just got a great persona, doesn't she? Right? Positive vibe.
With dilated eyes.
Life is good. Can't see.
Can't see. But, well, she got three fingers. She got
that part right, though.
Yeah, that was good.
But how about that? How about a Pitt-Louisville national championship game? How great would that be?
Well, statistically for the ACC, really good.
Do we have a one of those FVIs for volleyball? Do we have one of those clandestine groups up there in Bristol that got a breakdown of what percentages are
for
the volleyball? Surely that's in the budget.
Yeah.
Huh.
No?
The boys say no.
Huh. We'll give you a little note on this when we come back. There's a lot going on with this volleyball thing from a conference perspective, too. Checking the room? You planning and plotting?
Well, Captain Ron and Rob are over there messing around with the lights, so they're...
Well, they're looking for an extra check. They're trying to get another unit in their salary.
Well, I mean, we can...
We're going to take a break.
Got it in the budget, don't we?
Yeah, we're going to come back.
We've got two teams in the Final Four of volleyball. Well, we got
stuff to tell you about. We'll come back and get that done. Quick reminder, Mike Elko's introductory press conference at Duke comes up at 11 o'clock, and Mark and I will be here to welcome you for that. But when we also come back, we'll look ahead. The night in hoops is on the ledger. Boston College is in action after a loss at St. Louis over the weekend. Alondis Williams, a triple-double, by the way, for the Deeks. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, Wednesday night, we got ACC Women's Hoops and the top-ranked team in the country, South Carolina, Dawn Staley, and Kara Lawson's number 19 Duke Blue Devils meet 7 o'clock Wednesday night right here on ACC Network. Pam Ward and the former Vanderbilt coach, Stephanie White, will be there for the coverage right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. By the way, following that, 9 o'clock, Florida State and Lipscomb on the men's side. Busy Wednesday night. Doubleheader of hoops for you right here on ACCN. Got some basketball tonight, by the way.
Yep. It's hoops on every night.
Yeah. We got Boston College at 8 o'clock tonight hosting Albany, the Great Danes of the America East. And then at 11 a.m. this morning on ACCNX, women's game, Jen Hoover and Wake Forest at the Joel Coliseum, little matinee action against East Tennessee State.
They're going to miss the Mike Elko press conference.
That's going to be here at 11 o'clock on ACC Network. Coach Elko joined us, by the way, if you're just dialing us up this morning, thank you. Coach Elko joined us at the 8:30 mark this morning. Great to visit with him. And we asked him, what was it about Duke, Mike, that made you want to be their head coach?
This is a place where there's a lot more continuity and consistency in what we can do. It's not what anybody's looking to be in this profession for. I don't think you're looking to jump, to fly from place to place, to move your family from place to place. And I think when you look at this university, I think this is a place where you can really build roots and you can build this thing from the ground up and put your handprints all over it and build this brand the way we want it to be. And that was probably actually worked the opposite in that it maybe enticed me a little bit more to a place where you can really go and build a solid foundation with a solid group of kids in your program.
There you go.
Definitely going to get that opportunity for sure. Yeah. And David Cutcliffe, again, I thought did a great, great job. I mean, beyond great.
I
because
agree.
With what he inherited and what it turned into, not only from wins and losses, but also from a facility standpoint, mindset, and everything else, David Cutcliffe did a brilliant job. Now Mike Elko looks to try to take it to another level.
Yeah,
we'll see.
And we'll have his introductory presser coming up at 11 a.m. And tomorrow morning, 7:30, Tony Elliott will be here to join us, the new head football coach at Virginia. Looking forward to that.
And for folks who have not heard Tony Elliott speak, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be blown away because he is first of all, incredibly first-class dude. But so well-spoken, so bright. That to me is a natural fit with Virginia.
Right.
Natural fit. Now he's got to go get players, win games, and hopefully there's a backing and support from not only the fans, but also the administration from a facility upgrade and so forth, which I know has been discussed ad nauseum in Charlottesville. But he will connect with the folks in Charlottesville.
I agree with you totally. And again, like with Elko, I'll say this about Tony Elliott. It's going to be really interesting to watch these staffs come together because you got a defensive guy in Elko at Duke. How's the offensive structure look? By the way, Gunnar Holmberg announced on social media over the weekend he's going to James Madison, who is in the FCS semifinals. But next year, it's their last year at FCS. Next year, they're in the Sun Belt or in that transition period from FCS to FBS. So Gunnar Holmberg from Duke will be playing at James Madison next year. So there'll be a new quarterback of some sort for the Duke Blue Devils. Those staff structures will be interesting to follow. Brian Ives has provided us with a note here. We just had Serena Gray on from Pittsburgh, Panthers in Louisville, representing the ACC, chance to win a national championship this weekend in volleyball. If that happens, Mark, could very well be the Phillips factor, but
could be. It will be.
It would also help the ACC lay claim to a national championship in every sponsored women's sport the ACC has.
It's pretty good.
Well, soccer, you might imagine on the ladies' side, 27 of them. Most of them belong to Anson Dorrance in North Carolina. 13 in field hockey, 8 in golf. It's fencing. 7, 6 in lacrosse, 3 for basketball, 3 cross country, so on and so forth. The last one to check off the list among the current membership, volleyball.
Got a chance.
How about that?
Got a chance. One last thing I'd like to add.
Yes, sir.
I saw over here in the great state of North Carolina, they're going to name parts of the highway after Dean Smith and Roy Williams.
Yes, sir.
In fact, on I-40, stretches of I-40, exits 266. To 270 will be the Roy Williams Highway, and from 270 exit to 273 will be the Dean Smith Highway.
Yes, sir.
That's how you do it. Those folks out there in Oklahoma, when Lincoln Riley left, they got a senator out there in Oklahoma by the name of Bill Coleman, who suggested they give 3 inches of highway be named after Lincoln Riley after he left town. So that's how we do it in North Carolina. That's how the folks out there in Oklahoma. 3 inches for Lincoln Riley. But exits 266 to 270 Roy Williams Highway, 270, 273 Dean Smith Highway. But Lincoln Riley's got 3 inches westbound, the last 3 inches of Oklahoma for you head west, Lincoln Riley Highway. Just want to pass that on, everybody.
Thanks to Drew and Josh and Chrissy for a great Monday. Thanks as well to Serena Gray and Mike Elko. Mike Elko's Presser, we're back with you at 11 a.m. here on ACC.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.